also we can talk about liquid rhinoplasty. Now, another one that I don't know at all is Cabela. Is that
Cabela is it is. It's a fairly new product in the United States, FDA approved. It's owned by the same company who does Botox and Juvederm. And it's a solution that's injected into under chin fat, and it permanently removes the fat by actually destroying the lining of the cell, the membrane of the cell, releasing the fat, and then your immune system chews it up. So it's a permanent removal of fat under the chin. It can be used in any other areas, but it's primarily approved, on label for under the chin.
So. So good that we should talk about that. Now, I'm not going to. Yeah, we don't have. We've had many, many, many wonderful people on with regard to surgery, with regard to fillers, and we've always had the conversation about, the morality of it, the ethics of it, the fact that people are, in the street practically are pulling you in and saying they can do Botox. And whether you should do it or not. For your show, I really am not interested in that. You have so many new things that people ask me about. I would really rather give them the menu of what's available today and bring them up to speed for almost 2017.
Okay.
And my approach is, I've been watching this from the first time that they gave collagen shots, which is a very long time ago.
Yep.
And things have changed radically. So
They have.
And I'd like them to know what's available. So we can call it Beyond Botox or whatever it is I feel like saying. Now, I just want to go to ExoLift in a minute. So give me a clue at least, even if it's off the air, what that is. That's something you put together.
Basically, it's a combination of treatments that addresses the three aging parts of the face, the upper, the middle, and the lower part of the face, kind of creating a nice oval, because oval, rounded shape of the face is associated with youth, health, attractiveness in general. You know, as the face becomes more square or more rectangular, you get that inverted triangle of the face. And so the ExoLift uses a combination of, I don't know if you want to talk about fillers, but it does use a combination of fillers, strategically placed Botox, obviously, threads and radio frequency, just creating that upward pull of the face and making the face look a lot more balanced, if you wish.
We may have time for that, but I certainly say that the radio frequencies I'm going to add to the list.
I'm sorry?
The radio frequency I want to add to the list in and of itself.
Yes.
And
sure.
How it's being used. Okay?
Sure.
Adrian,
the focus of Aesthetica, and one of the reasons that I wanted to put it all together in one practice is, there's so many, as you said, people doing a lot of different things without any rhyme or reason, and patients come in and sometimes they don't know what they want, and they wind up getting a lot of crazy, stupid things done. And that makes them look weird. And not necessarily youthful. My goal is really a complete facial analysis that allows me to strategically and cost-effectively treat a patient, whatever their budget may be. And when they come out, they look normal. They just look healthier and younger and more youthful, without bruising or anything else. So that's kind of, so I always tell the patients, think of me as a Sherpa. I'm kind of going to guide you through this. Give you some suggestion, and then you make your own decision. So the whole approach of Aesthetica is a kind of a complex approach, step by step, without doing a lot of crazy stuff at the same time, where they just continue looking better and better and better. That's kind of my whole philosophy when it comes to anti-aging of the face and rejuvenation. Now, I'm a face guy. I don't really do body. We can talk about body if you wish, as far as radio frequency.
Radio frequency is for body. Oh, if that's the case, no. Then I will not talk
Radio frequency can be used for body,
I thought it was for the chin.
It's for the face. It's generally to tighten up the face. It has its limitations. It has its advantages. But I don't use it for the body. I just don't think it works well. I think it's a waste to use it for that. It becomes too expensive for the patient. So we can talk about the principles of radiofrequency for sure, and who's the ideal candidate, patient selection, and, you know, when is it beneficial and when it's just a waste.
So good. So the way we'll do this, because we have two sessions, is we'll start with your philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it to me just the way you just told it to me. You know,
okay.
It doesn't be word for word, but that's good. And that's a good stepping stone to saying, all right, we're giving you a menu of things, but you have to make it into a meal. And the way you make it, make ingredients into a meal is to have a chef. So
and
you
a
have
healthy
to go in.
Meal at that.
So you go
a balanced
in,
but
we want you to know what's available. And then that doesn't mean it's right for you.
Right.
But what you need is somebody who knows how to execute it and decide what's right for you. Now, at the second part, we'll talk about if we want to talk about budget. We'll see in a minute.
I'm sorry, Adrian, I'm sorry to interrupt you for 1 second before I forget. Another approach that we really take is prevention, repair, and then going forward, rejuvenation and prevention of progression of aging of the face. So it's kind of, it's a multifactorial approach to when I analyze a patient. So we start with, you know, skin care. I do advise them about diet and exercise, obviously, although, you know, that's not my main focus, but I always tell them, especially if they have certain problems with the skin. And then proceed with repair of the damage that has already occurred, and then kind of repairing certain features that have sagged, or even giving them features they never had. It will say a liquid rhinoplasty or a chin that's retrusive, and we can kind of correct that. And so there's a lot of different things that can be done. But kind of the main focus is skincare, protection and prevention of damage, and then going forward with repair and prevention of progression of aging rapidly. Obviously, we can't stop it, but we can slow it down quite a bit.
Okay, so we can certainly say that, but I also want to get in what you said before about looking at the entire face and not doing a patchwork of procedures.
That's correct. That is key.
And,
that is a critical factor.
And do you have your own line of products, or just doesn't say anything about that here?
We carry several lines. It took me several years to figure out which one I like the most, which is the most beneficial. So we're carrying this line called Environ, and I know the physician who developed that line, Des Fernandez. He's from South Africa, and it's a truly science-based product line, which includes antioxidants that actually penetrate to where they're necessary, also retinol, also vitamin C, and a variety of other things. But those are the main vehicles of rejuvenation, is, you know, the peptides, the antioxidants. But we need to make sure that they're properly formulated to get into the skin. And his product line is sort of awesome. We also enhance that with microneedling. So we advise our patients. We do that in the office as well with microneedling, using something called Dermapen or an aggressive microneedling roller. But also we give the patient a roller, which is basically 0.1 millimeter needles on a little roller looking thing with a handle, and when they roll, it enhances the penetration, and also it injures the skin a little bit, but to a point where skin needs to be challenged sometimes. So by creating these tiny little areas of injury, it stimulates the repair response, and the results are just incredible. I mean, just really great for the skin.
So hopefully in the second section we'll be able to cover that. So what's going to happen is you're going to hear some music. I'm going to introduce you because you're the second guest. So if it sounds funny, it's not the beginning of the show, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just a part of the show. And then at the end, before I have to go to a commercial, I may even have to cut you off, but the music will come again. They can always fix that. And then we will see what we want to say in the second segment and repeat, okay?
Sounds good.
We are ready. And we're very excited and very ready to go.
Thank you. Thank you.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. We are back. We just heard a lot about how to stay fit and be actively aging. But you know what? Most of us not only want to be physically active, we want to look in the mirror and say, hey, you're looking good. And let's admit it, we've had many, many shows where we talked about the ethics, the morality, the back and forth of whether we should do anything to look younger. And the fact is, in all of our surveys, it says the answer is yes. But it's been a long time that the area of what may be called anti-aging aesthetics has been developing. And it's very different today than it was when it began. And one of the people who's a leader in the field is a guest right now. His name is Dmitry Rapkin. Dr. Rapkin is founder and medical director of Aesthetica MD. He's the director of minimally invasive facial rejuvenation at the Head and Neck Institute at Lenox Hill Hospital. And he's double board certified by the American Academy of Aesthetic Medicine. He's got a lot more things, too, like he's a fellow at the American College of Surgeons. But we have a short show, so we can't say everything about what Dmitry Rapkin can do. But he can. And so what I want to take our next couple of segments of this show to basically bring you guys up to date with the new philosophy of what we can do to look younger and rejuvenate, and some of the real new techniques that are out there that you may not have heard of, or you heard of and you're just not sure what they're really all about. So thank you, Dr. Rapkin, for being with us today.
My pleasure indeed. Thank you.
So let's start with the idea of the new philosophy. You are a leader in really a very new kind of philosophy that would prevent getting that patchwork look of, I did this to my eyes 1 week, and I did this to my chin 3 months later, and I don't look so good. So how do you view the face and how people should approach a younger self?
Well, I think I can summarize it by saying that in this day and age, less is more. The more natural look is certainly in. The overdone lips, the overdone cheeks, the over Botox face is definitely a telltale sign of what I actually call bad taste. And in fact, it can be quite vulgar. So the approach is less is more, small steps, large gains, and do things in sequence, not overwhelm the patient, not overwhelm the face with a lot of different procedures at the same time. It makes them too noticeable. They stick out. They can walk out of the office and everybody will say, oh, they're doing something. But if you do things incrementally, then that patient will just continue to look better, better and better and younger and healthier and still remain natural, still remain themselves. They have the same features. Nothing is over exaggerated by doing certain injectables or doing certain other procedures. So the approach is really more of a natural, youthful, you know, healthy look. Patients are exercising. We're all exercising. We're trying to eat right. And the face needs to match. The old
Hollywood look.
Block
the old Bride of Wilkinson look. I know, we all know what you're talking about, Dr. Rapkin, believe me. You know,
but also the reservations.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But also the reservations.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you had said was prevention, though, that you were very interested in prevention these days.
I'm huge in prevention and also in prophylaxis. I don't treat aging as something that is absolutely necessary, at least not rapid aging. You know, the whole premise of my practice and my philosophy is, if I can't stop it, I can certainly put a lot of obstacles in Father Time's relentless progression. So doing things in small steps, but also prevention, we know that sun damage, certain toxins, pollutants do damage our skin. Sun is certainly the biggest one. So all else being the same, genetics, diet, et cetera, sun exposure. So we're huge on having our patients use sunscreens. I don't want to get into that. That's been beaten to death, I'm sure. But also giving them other tips that will prevent them from rapidly aging. But sun is huge. Certainly smoking, alcohol use, lack of exercise, all the things that affect our bodies in general do affect the way we look as far as our face is concerned.
Now, you have a lot of things that you can do, and I don't want to get away from our original idea that we would like people to be up to date. Most people know about Botox, you know, something about fillers. But let's start with a few of the things that might sound exotic, but they'll probably be mainstream pretty soon. Now, I saw a video on threading and the thread facial, which actually took a thread on a needle, and it had some cones that I think dissolve under the skin, and it pulled up the cheeks and it pulled up the neck. Now, that is something I know you're very adept at. Is there a way to explain that to people so they understand why this thing works?
Sure, I'll do my best. A thread is really a suture. The same types of sutures that cardiologists and cardiothoracic surgeons, rather, and orthopedic surgeons have been using for 30 years. So it's the same thing that's used in those types of surgeries. This thread is designed, however, it can be completely plain, which is used to create what's called a matrix. And when it's put into underneath the skin, in a similar fashion that a filler does, quite painless, it goes through a hollow needle, and as you insert the needle, you pull the needle out, the thread stays inside, and you create almost a lattice work of supporting tissue. Because gravity and loss of collagen do affect the way our face and skin looks. So when these threads go in, this is one type of thread. It's called a plain thread. It creates almost a lattice work, a foundation, if you wish. And that immediately creates certain lifting and also creates a little bit of volume because they do provide volume. But with time, they produce collagen. So new collagen, skin reacts to any kind of stimulus. Skin is quite stupid. It reacts to anything that challenges it as an injury of sorts. So if you are putting in a thread, for example, it will stimulate certain cells to produce proteins, in which case, you know, the desirable ones are different types of collagen, let's say collagen type 1 and type 3, but that, I don't want to get into that too much. And that creates new collagen formation, and collagen formation will create a tighter, a better skin and almost provide a lift. These sutures are absorbable. We'll call them threads, but they're really sutures that will dissolve by themselves between, let's say, 3 to 4 months. But by that time, you will have new collagen formation. You can always add things as we continue to age and gravity continues. You know, since we live on Earth, you know, gravity will continue to pull on the tissues and pull our faces downward, creating that inverse triangle that is opposite of what we see in youth. So these threads are put in a lattice framework. And then there are other types of threads that you have mentioned, Adrian, which actually have cogs or barbs. And these are the ones that are put essentially the same way. They're somewhat thicker and require a much fewer number of these types of threads, and they're put in strategically. You have to understand facial anatomy, and it's basically the same thing that we do when we do a facelift. We pull the skin of the face or neck in a certain vector to create a pleasing, more tighter appearance without over-tightening. So those types of threads with those dissolvable cogs or barbs actually pull the tissue immediately, and you'll see the results immediately, and then it will continue to improve over the course of a month, 2 months, 3 months, depends on how many are placed.
Now, before we have to break in about a minute and a half, and I did want to get one more thing in, which is the Cabela procedure, because new to me anyway, and it seems quite simple and has a very, very important goal, which many of us suffer from. So what is Cabela?
Okay, Cabela. Cabela is really the same type of a chemical that's found in our gallbladder. So when we eat fat, certain chemicals, they're called bile acids, are secreted, and they actually break down the fat cells, and then the fat is actually absorbed and eliminated. Cabela is the same. It's the oxycholic acid. So it's injected in approximately 10, 12 injections under the skin. Patient selection is extremely important. It's not for someone who is severely overweight and has a huge amount of fat. But someone who has mild to moderate amount of under-chin fat, submental fat, these injections are made. They are painless on injection. They can sting for a few minutes after. We numb the area up, of course, for patient's comfort. And that may need to be repeated in a month or 2 months and may require more than one session. In general, moderate amount of fat under the chin will require, let's say, 2 to 3 sessions of injectables.
Well, you know, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to take a little bit of a break, Doctor. We're speaking with Dr. Dmitry Rapkin, and he knows what he's talking about. And we are going through a menu of some of the latest things you may never have heard of. And for more surprises, don't go anywhere. We'll make you beautiful.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
Okay, so we're getting a lot in. That's good. That's just what I want to accomplish. Is that okay for you?
It's fine. As long as I sound okay to you, it's okay with me.
You sound wonderful.
Okay. Thank you.
So now we're going to go to the liquid rhinoplasty and the platelet plasma.
Okay.
Now, while we're waiting, they're putting in the ads now. I want to talk about cost for a second. I know you can't give pricing or anything like this, but you did say people should come with maybe a budget. Is that a good idea? How should they look at this? What might be a minimum budget? What do you think?
I can't really give you a number. My patient population varies. But in general, if I have someone come in and they say, well, I'm on a very limited budget, but I want to, you know, do Botox and fillers, and they see the menu, and they coming into my clinic. I mean, they really want to do everything and see everything, but it's not really for them necessarily, financially speaking, you know. So I would advise them to do little things, and probably the most cost-effective thing for patients to do on a small budget is really using the right products for the skin. And maybe once in a while doing a little Botox, maybe a little filler. But again, it requires a very careful patient assessment. The first thing I ask the patient is, you know, you look in the mirror when you get up in the morning, you're brushing your teeth, you raise your eyes up to the mirror, you look at yourself and you say, oi. And I say, when you say oi, what bothers you? And then I'll say to them, in my case, I look at the bags under my eyes because, you know, I worked pretty hard and I didn't sleep well last night. So what bothers you? And that kind of helps me to guide them in the most cost-effective way and say, well, I want to do this and this and this. And I say, well, this is not really for you. It's not going to be cost-effective. You know, I had a gentleman who came in who had so much fat under the chin. He said, I want Kybella. I don't want to do liposuction. I said, you're going to waste a lot of money. You're going to see 20% improvement. It's not going to make any difference. You know, you may want to consider other options, such as, let's say, lipo and just get it done with. So something like that. Or a patient comes in and says, I want to do Botox because I have a wedding, or I have a birthday, or I have a reunion. I want to do a few things so I really look better than my friends, my frenemies, my, you know, ex-boyfriends, my ex-girlfriends, you know. And I'll say, okay, so we can do that, but understand that going long-term, you know, if you want to maintain this, it requires discipline. And unfortunately, since this is an elective thing, it requires money, discipline, money, and perseverance. And a certain amount of, I guess, masochism. So.
True. All right, I get it. We're going to start, though, with the rhinoplasty. And Stuart, we're ready? Yeah. This is an 8-minute segment, and then you'll see I'm wrapping up the show at the end. The other thing I want to do is, the first thing I'm going to ask you is how people can find you. So you should... You have your website ready and all that?
Aesthetica MD online is probably the easiest way.
Sure.
Englewood, New Jersey.
Good. We're ready to go.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit. Cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, and I can't believe it's our last segment. So I want to get immediately to our guest, Dr. Dmitry Rapkin, We gave you all of his credentials. He is prestigious American College of Surgeons Fellow. He has a wonderful practice, Aesthetica MD, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. You'll learn where to reach him. And he is the director of Minimally Invasive Facial Rejuvenation at the Head and Neck Institute at Lenox Hill Hospital. So before we go further, what we've been asking him to do is a hard job, and that is explain, if he can, in as little time as we've got, some of the cutting-edge ways that you can simply look younger. And he's been through a few. We're going to give you a few more now. But Dr. Rapkin, before we do that, how can we find you if we want more information?
Well, we're in Englewood, New Jersey, about, I guess, 5 minutes from George Washington Bridge in Bergen County, and Aesthetica MD, Aesthetica with an E, is probably the best way to find us, is online, with all the information,
right,
videos, literature, and everything else.
So Aesthetica is Aesthetica MD.com. One of the things that the doctor and I talked about is that this is radio. What he does is extremely visual. And so if you would like to see what some of these procedures look like and see how they work and before and afters and all that, for wherever you live, anywhere in the country, take a look at that website and you'll be much more illuminated. But right now I want to talk about something called the liquid rhinoplasty. And I'm going to make a confession. I don't know if it's a confession anymore. When I was 35, I had enough money. It took me that long to get a nose job. That's what they called it in those days. And I'm glad I did, I must say. But it certainly wasn't liquid rhinoplasty. I mean, it was hell on wheels. So what is this thing?
Liquid rhinoplasty is a non-surgical rhinoplasty. It involves use of a variety of types of fillers and actually Botox. And sometimes you can actually use threads to lift, let's say, the tip of the nose. Patient selection is critical. If someone has a small bump with slight crookedness to the nose or a little depression of the tip, it's an ideal procedure. If someone is on the fence and really doesn't want to go for a surgical procedure for whatever reason, financial or time-wise risk, et cetera, it's a great way of at least seeing what the nose will look like, and you can get it done in 5 to 10 minutes. Assessing the patient, taking some pictures, doing some measurements. It's really important to make sure that it's the right patient. If someone's nose is extremely, let's say, crooked or has a huge bump, it's not going to make that much of a difference. But someone who wants to tweak it somewhat make it more proportional to the face, because the main thing about the nose is that it has to work with the rest of the face. And there are specific measurements that are pleasing to the eye, the length of the nose with relationship to the tip of the nose to the tip of the chin, from the tip to between the eyes, and the width of the eyes. So we use different types of fillers to strategically place them fairly painlessly. I use micro cannulas. I don't even use needles anymore for injection of fillers. They're basically blunt little, almost like IV catheters, so through a tiny small opening. I can introduce a filler pretty much anywhere I need to without bruising the patient or causing a lot of swelling or trauma. So it's a quick fix of a mild to moderate the nasal problem. It's very difficult to, again, on Meradia to describe it. You really need to do it either on the model or on the patient and say, well, this is what we can do. So if you have a small bump or small depression, it is possible, absolutely.
Not for everybody, but you mentioned some magic words, which is filler. Now, we do know about Botox, and I think most of my listeners know about Restylane and Prolane and that type. But they may not know, or they've just heard of, platelet-rich plasma. Is that a filler, or is that something else, and how does that work?
It's really not not a filler. A platelet-rich plasma, it's your own blood, plasma, which blood is extracted from a vein, just like in a primary physician's office. It's spun in a centrifuge at a particular speed, and there's a layer called plasma where platelets concentrate. Platelets are little soldiers that are involved in repair. What they do is they are immediately the first ones that come to the site of injury, whether we cut themselves, bruise ourselves, and they trigger a lot of different other factors, chemicals in the blood, to speed up the healing response. So when platelet-rich plasma is injected into particular areas of the face, for example, orthopedists have been using it for years for a regeneration of in the joints and the athletes. It's a huge thing for that. But it works in the face as well. Again, not for everyone, not for advanced severe aging, but it still helps even with that. And it will trigger a repair response. It will bring in all these good guys that are in our blood, that are involved in our immune repair response that we'd like to be active all the time, whether it's in anti-aging, whether it's in cancer surveillance, whether it's fighting viruses and bacteria that get into our system. So the same thing happens when you inject platelets or platelet-rich plasma into the face. It does provide some volume, like a filler does. Filler does what its name says. It's pills.
Right.
And PRP, or platelet-rich plasma, does the same thing. But the main goal of injecting PRP is for anti-aging, for triggering your body's own repair response. So it's fantastic for making the skin glow, making it tighter, making it thicker. It's used for hair restoration. If someone has lost hair and it hasn't been 20 years, but let's say 3, 4, 5 years, male or female, and they still have follicles that are alive, this will will trigger growth factors of various types to come in and sort of waken up those follicular cells that are hair cells. In the face, it creates a repair response and a regeneration. So it's a fantastic, it's not a magic bullet, but when you use in conjunction with other modalities and as part of sort of anti-aging prophylaxis, if you wish, it will produce repair, but also will delay the other variables that are involved in aging of the face.
We thank you very much. We can't believe it, but it's always so fast. Oh, we've been speaking with Dr. Dimitri Rapkin, I know. Isn't that amazing? And we are at the end of our show, but please remember Aesthetica, which is Aesthetica.com. Lots of information on the site, including visuals. Many more procedures that we can't even cover here because we just don't have time. But, you know, our purpose has been fulfilled. We wanted to bring you up to date out of the 20th century to the 21st century. And you know what we always say? Get out there, kid, and make it happen. Time runs away, huh? So
yes,
fast.
Ma'am. It sure does. Yeah, yeah.
But we covered all of them. You know.
No, I hope it wasn't too
you mean too medical? No. This is what I wanted because all the gloss over type stuff we've done, and even the budget things, and as I said, whether you should do it or shouldn't do it, or. You know, we've done, and we've also talked about retinols and other things of that nature. This show is not about that. It's a show with many, many different types of people, experts in different fields. But we definitely have had a good coverage of this particular issue, but never what you just did, which was really tell us what each of these things are. And you know, it's very, very cool. So probably your PR person knows it will be on the air live Sunday. Then by Wednesday, it goes archived on our website, which is generationboldradio.com. And your PR people can use it in emails or send it out or social media, whatever they like, and let people hear it, let people listen to it.
Oh.
They can also
awesome.
Hear it on an app, so they can hear it on their mobile phone, too. Okay.
Terrific.
Great.
Terrific.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
One day I'll see you.
be my pleasure.
Yeah. It's about time. I'm not so sure it'll be such a pleasure, but we'll see.
No. I tell my patients that if it's not fun for you, don't come in. We want you to have fun. This is great stuff.
It's fun the next day. No, really, I actually am on the side of doing something. But there's always a contingency. I have one very close friend who's had many facelifts and one close friend who will not even dye her hair. So there's always a discussion. But I'm in favor. But thank you.
I mean, small steps.
No.
Yeah. Thank you, Adrienne. Thank you very much.
Take
All
you.
The best. Bye-bye.